Today is part two in our series on heroes, and we're going to look at a man named Enoch.
Who?
Is that what I heard? Who? Enoch. Enoch is not a well-known person in the Bible, and there's really not a lot about it about him. But he's a very important character because God decided to put him on a list of heroes of faith. Let's define the word hero, can we? Who is a hero? The word hero has been kind of lost. It lost its meaning in our society. Wouldn't you agree? You're my hero. Oh, I can be your hero, baby. Yeah, that too. So we changed a lot of what the word hero means. The word hero, especially in the 50 years, everybody's a hero. Okay? But this is what a dictionary says about a hero. A hero is a man or a woman of distinguished courage and ability, admired for his brave deeds and noble qualities. That's who a hero is. I thought about it. Who is a hero to me? A hero is a person who is able to rescue someone from imminent danger. But says somebody is in a house of fire. The other person doesn't look for his own safety, goes in there like a firefighter, and rescues them. But firefighters are actually trained to do that. They're professional heroes almost. But bigger hero to me is somebody who is not trained. But because they love people, they love humanity, they go in that burning house and maybe burn themselves and rescue somebody. I heard a story of a young boy who was in the house when a fire started. His dad was outside yelling and saying, "Junior, come on, jump." So the son would come to the ledge of a window, and the smoke was so strong and smoke was just huge where the boy couldn't see his father down below. He says, "Dad, I do not see you." And dad says, "Son, just jump. I see you and I'll catch you." And the boy takes a leap of faith and the father catches him. That's a hero. A person who is able to rescue someone, save someone from danger, like fire, like an accident. How many of you saw a video of a motorcyclist a while back, maybe 2-3 years ago, on the highway of LA, crashed under a car, burning car. And there was a man in his suit. I showed that video before, but there was a man in his suit standing going, and then there was a whole bunch of people who came and lifted the car and pulled out this motorcyclist who was still alive from underneath that car, and then the car just totally exploded. How many of you seen that video? Yeah. Those are heroes. Those are real heroes. Imagine, moms, it was your son or daughter under that vehicle. Wouldn't you want somebody, and you weren't there, wouldn't you want somebody to rescue them from danger? Would you call them a hero? Yes, you would. They would be your heroes for the rest of your life. Someone who is a hero. I asked my son, yesterday I was preparing this message, and I asked my son, who is a hero to you? What is a hero to you? And I want to show you his answer right now, okay? Watch this.
A hero is like someone who saves you if you need help. So, one time I was climbing a tree, and I was asking my dad for a really long time, and then he wouldn't help me climb the tree, so I thought, hey, maybe I should just cut a rope and then just do it myself. So while I was climbing the tree, I found a branch, then I tied the rope to the branch, and then I fell off the branch while the rope was on my waist. When my dad saw me, he quickly came running with his underwear on.
All right, let's keep going. No explanation here. Oh, come on, man. You know how it is at home. Who is a hero to you? On January 15, 2009, at 3:27 p.m., an airplane carrying 150 people took off from New York going to Seattle. On the way, a flock of Canadian geese came through the turbines and hit that plane. Do you remember that story? And Captain, his name is Sullenberger, thought quickly, kind of on his feet, and landed a plane with 150 people into the Hudson River. You remember that? Right there? 150 people. That's a lot of people who could have died. If he landed anywhere else, all those people would have been dead. I have family who lives in Seattle, so it kind of makes it a little more personal. If your son or daughter, if your girlfriend or husband or wife was on that plane with you, or on that plane, wouldn't you call this captain a hero? However, these are the earthly heroes that we're talking about. And that's all great. These are great people. But hero, to me, on a greater level, I think, is someone who God uses to impact the life of people for eternity. It's one thing where you help somebody here on earth, and that's important. But what happens in eternity? How many of you know the Bible says that we don't actually die? We transition from one country to another, from physical to spiritual. Nobody ever dies. Listen to me. Nobody ever dies. That's why the Bible says when somebody dies in the Lord, you don't have to worry so hard. You don't have to be like someone without hope, because we have hope to meeting that person in heaven. Nobody ever dies. That's why death to God is different than death to us. Death to us is the end. It's so much bigger. It's so much more depressing and low for us. For God, a person lived in a far country away from Him, and now that person comes to live with God. Do you see what I mean? Do you see the difference of death to God? Have you ever had a loved one, a soldier in Afghanistan or Iraq, right? They were far away, and then they came back. You know, when do you feel better? When they come back, you greet them, you meet them at the airport or at the shipyard, and you hug them and you love them. That's how God looks at it. His son and daughter came from war. Alive, well, he made it. Made it home, and God goes, give me a hug, son. Right? Angels celebrate. Jesus, you meet all the cool people when you go there. All right? So hero is someone God uses to impact lives of people for eternity. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 says this, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of heaven, firmament is heaven. And those who turn many to righteousness like the sun forever and ever. Those who turn many to what? Righteousness. Those who turn many from the road to hell to the road to heaven will shine like, that's who God looks at as heroes. That's who God counts as stars. Those who bring many people to righteousness shall shine like the stars forever and ever and ever. To me, heroes are regular people who care enough about people far from God and are okay being uncomfortable and tell people about Jesus. Or at least invite them to church where somebody else can tell them about Jesus. I know you all have family and friends, and God says, I'm giving you an opportunity to bring people who are far from God into close and personal relationship with Jesus. That's who God counts as heroes. God is looking today for somebody He can call a hero. Somebody who can lay down their life, who's willing to be uncomfortable to see more people saved. My son said, hero is someone who saves people, right? That's it. A hero is somebody who saves people. And God uses regular people to save people who are far from God and bring them into a close and personal relationship with Jesus. Amen. You can clap your hands here. Amen. Amen. Now, let's go into Enoch. That was kind of a long introduction, but let's go into Enoch. Who is this man, Enoch? The second hero in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, is Enoch. Let's read what it says. By faith, Enoch was taken away so he did not see death. Ooh. Okay, let it sink in a little bit. By faith, Enoch was taken away so he did not see death. This man didn't die. Hold on. How is that possible? I thought everybody dies. He kind of got his private rapture, guys. Imagine that. There was another man in the Bible who didn't die. How many of you know who it is? Elijah. Thank you. He was taken in the whirlwind. A chariot of fire came and picked him up. He didn't die. I thought it was appointed to man once to die and then judgment. Yes, but these people, God had something special for them. Private rapture. That would be cool. Must be nice. And was not found because God has taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Do you have a testimony in your heart that you are pleasing to God? Not asking you if you're saved. Salvation is very easy, right? You confess Jesus as Lord. But do you have the testimony that you are living pleasing to God? Do you remember Jesus before he started his ministry? He was baptized and there was a dove coming down from heaven, right? And the voice was heard by people. This is my beloved son and I'm well pleased with him. There's no greater joy in life than knowing that having a testimony inside of your heart that I'm pleasing to God. Enoch was a man who Bible says was the first man who pleased God. Almost it seems like Adam and Eve didn't please God. But Enoch was the first man who pleased God. Let's keep going. Before he was taken, he had a testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith. What pleases God? What pleases God? Is it how much money you give? Is it how many good works you do? Is it how good of a mask you put in church on Sunday? Is it how you dress? Is it how you talk? What pleases God? Here's the answer in Hebrews chapter 6. So you won't be deceived on what pleases God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Some people think this. If I build a hospital in India or China or Africa, I will somehow please God. No. I will give $1 million to my favorite charity. Now, building a hospital is a cool thing. Yes, it's helping a lot of people. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. So don't look at your good deeds and say, well, if there is a God, I have enough good deeds. Look what I've done in my life. I'm better than so many people. I'm going to please God. No, you will not please God because only faith in God pleases God. And Enoch was the first man who was called the man who pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, God. For he, me, you, everybody who comes to God must believe that he is. Number one, you must believe that he is. He is. He is. There's a lot of meaning in that. He is. He is whatever you need. He is everything. Moses said, what is your name? And he said, I am that I am. He is. He is. It's not just I believe in some higher power in heaven. You believe in God of the Bible. He is. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. And that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Enoch was the man who pleased God, who believed in God, who had faith in God, and was rewarded by God for seeking God diligently. The question today, and I believe God is wanting to ask you, and if you're not there yet, don't be disappointed. Don't hate the preacher, but just say, God, I'm not there yet. Help me get there. Is this, am I living a life pleasing to God? Or do I have a ways to go? And I know the answer is we all can say, I got a ways to go yet, God. Help me with that. He pleased God. And God rewarded him. If you please God, God will reward you. It's a big one. If you please God, God will reward you. And how do you please God? Faith. By faith. Thank you. Believe. Some people will tell you to please God, you need to do some things. You have to dress a certain way. Like in the old church, ladies have to dress a certain way. So we force all these ladies to dress this way, but their hearts weren't changed. So you can force somebody to live or to appear a certain way, right? But if it doesn't come from them and their heart, if the transformation didn't happen in the heart, you will never please God. Your works must come out of faith. Faith is the first step of pleasing God, and then works follow, because faith without works is dead. So if you say, I got faith, but you have no works behind it, your faith is dead, which is not real. If you have a backpack, and in that backpack you have a cat, but the cat is dead. Okay, ew. It's just dead, right? It's dead. It's not alive. Same with faith. You can say, I got a backpack. It's full of faith, but there's no works with it. There's no righteousness this way. Remember horizontal? You have righteousness this way. You're saved, but there's no works this way. It's dead. Cat is dead. Take him. Stop bragging about a dead cat. Don't be pulling him out and saying, oh, nice kitty, alive kitty. Look at him purr. He's not purring, he's dead. Cat is dead. Faith is dead without works. Rick Warren says this. You only can claim the parts of the Bible that you obey. Rick Warren says this, that you can only say, I believe in the parts of the Bible that I obey. You can say, I believe in the Bible. You can quote a lot of Bible. You can read a lot of Bible. But unless you live it, you're not believing in it. You're not really believing in it. So stop saying, I believe in the Bible. I believe in God. Well, but what about this? Nah. What about that? Well, that was for then, not for now. Well, God loves all, you know, and you know, it's okay, right? And eventually it becomes a heresy. It's either legalism or licentiousness, right? You either become legalist and you start forcing people to do something you're not doing to cover your own sins, or you start preaching everything is okay because grace of God covers everything. And the Bible calls it licentiousness. And there's a balance, right? There's that right thin path. And it's so hard to be on it. It's so easy to be on legalism. Legalism is easy. How many of you know? You just tell everybody how wrong they are, right? Legalism is like, you're wrong. You're not doing it right. You're not worshiping God right. And what about you? Do you worship God? Well, it's not about me. It's about you. I see a little speck in your eye. But boy, don't you dare touch my 2x4 in my eye, right? Licentiousness is God loves everybody. It's the universal spirit, universalism spirit. God is, he's almost like not real. He's almost like a force that just loves. And he doesn't have any feelings other than love. That's it. Yeah, he does. He's consuming fire. And he'll mess you up. Don't mess with him. Right? You got to know two sides of God, not just one side. How many of you know there's one side to Pastor Alex and another? If you mess with my family, you'll see another side of me. I'll make you an offer. Right. Right. The same thing with God. Let's go back to Enoch, please. Stop distracting me. Did you know that there is actually two Enochs in the Bible? First one was a son of Cain. He came into an ungodly lineage. That's not the kind of Enoch. That's not the Enoch we're talking about today. Cain built a city called Enoch, which is the beginning. That's not the guy. That's not the guy. The second Enoch, that's the one we're talking about today, is from the lineage of Seth. That's a third son that Adam and Eve had. That lineage that Jesus Christ came through and was born into. So that's, you know, there was a lineage. Enoch is the most mysterious and interesting and fascinating character in the Bible. Personally, I have been intrigued by this superhero of faith. However, the Bible doesn't give us a lot to work with when it comes to this mysterious man called Enoch. Genesis 5, 18 through 24. Listen to this. Jared lived 100, this is his father, Enoch's father, 162 years and produced Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. How many of you watched Noah movie, the recent Russell Crowe Noah movie? You saw Methuselah there. He was mischaracterized there because he was this weird man living in the mountain somewhere, and he made Noah drink a potion, and Noah had contact with God, which is sorcery, right? Some of you tried drugs like that, and you saw God, and you saw different weird things, and there was a little midget sitting on a on somewhere, and you took a shoe and you threw it at him, right? And he disappeared, right? Drugs. That's sorcery, right? Sorcery. There wasn't God. So they mischaracterized them. But Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. You get excited when I talk about drugs. What's up with that? Our church knows something about drugs, don't they? Hallelujah. Oops. That's who we were. But now we're washed, sanctified by the blood of the Lamb, right? We're different people now. So Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch, listen to this. It doesn't say that about anybody else previously. Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. Enoch walked with God 300 years. That's going to be a big point today. Walked with God. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. He actually lived the shortest. Actually, he lived one third of all the other of his generation. Adam lived like 900. Methuselah, his son, lived 969 years, which is the longest. Enoch only lived 365 years, which is how many days we have in a year. I don't know if that's significant. So all the days of Enoch was 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not. And he disappeared, for God took him. Okay? Bible gives us a few clues about Enoch. Tells us that he was the seventh generation from Adam. Right? Generation means Adam had a son, his son had a son, and it's always counted by the firstborn. Firstborn male. He was the father of Methuselah, the oldest recorded living man in the world, 696 years. He was the grandfather of Noah. He was a man of faith who pleased God. We know that. We know that he received a testimony. How do you do that? Nobody told him that you are pleasing to God. Inside of himself, he said, I am pleasing to God. He received a testimony that he pleased God. After his son was born, Bible says that he walked 300 years with God. Then he disappeared because God took him. Only two men did that. Enoch is mentioned 6 times in the Old Testament and 3 times in the New Testament. In the New Testament, he's mentioned in genealogy of Matthew, once in the book of Jude, the brother, half-brother of Jesus, and once in Hebrews by Apostle Paul. Really, we do not know a lot about Enoch, except that there's a thing called a book of Enoch. The most exciting, the most crazy book that you can read. It was actually, we found that book in the Ethiopian Bible in like 1800s. Book of Enoch. Now, that book didn't make it into our Bible. You know, like Catholic Bible has extra books that are not in this Bible. Because God didn't want, maybe, all those books to be there. They're more historic than they're inspired. But one of the books, interesting books, historic books, they're not equivalent to Bible, so don't use it as a holy scripture. It's just historic writings, is the book of Enoch. Crazy things happen in that book. So much symbology in that book. And we're going to get a little bit to it because that's what makes... And there's another book, kind of like the book of Genesis, but it's called the book of Jared. And there's a book of the giants. Some of the interesting Hebrew writings that you can read on your own. But if you're not reading the Bible first, maybe start with the Bible, okay? But as I've been studying the Bible for so many years, I get excited about these other books that are historic, not scriptural, and I can get more understanding of what was happening in that time, okay? And so we know a little bit of that from these books. Jesus' half-brother quotes Enoch. He said this, here comes the Lord with 10,000 of his saints or holy ones to do some battle with the evil on the earth. Where did Jude get that? He got it from the book of Enoch, chapter 3, I believe. A lot of early fathers of faith quoted Jerome. A lot of other first, second, and third century fathers quoted the book of Enoch. And then book of Enoch was outlawed and by the church. And they stopped printing it. And then they were trying to destroy it. But the thing was that Ethiopians kept the book of Enoch. Just like they say they kept the Ark of the Lord that disappeared from Solomon's temple before, you know, the destruction of temple, right? So they say they have actually hundreds of arks in every church hidden somewhere, so nobody knows which one is the real one, which one is not. And in 1800, one of the English explorers found this book of Enoch. And in the Dead Sea Scrolls in Hebrew, there are some pages that were found in the book of Enoch, but not the whole thing. So it's not equivalent to scripture. It does not have that inspiration of the Holy Spirit. However, it is just a historic book that you want. And I'll tell you why I said this, because you can know more about what happened, what was happening in that time. Okay? So, point number one, Enoch lived at a time of history where great wickedness and evil ruled on the earth. He lived at the time of history where humanity rejected God. They weren't indifferent to God. You know, some people are indifferent to God. They rejected God. Why did they do that? Because Enoch lived at the time when fallen angels would come down from heaven and somehow how they poured out into this earth. And Bible says that they made it with daughters of man, resulting in giants. Ooh. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4 through 6. Let's read there. There were giants on the earth those days. This is our Bible. This is not a book of Enoch. This is our Bible, right? There were giants on the earth in those days and also afterward when sons of God, that's those fallen angels, came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them. So this is the seed of a serpent coming down, taking a human form, mating with women of the earth, producing a great giant of the earth. Remember, God said to Eve that the seed of a woman will crush Satan's head. The seed of a woman will crush Satan's seed. So Satan wanted to produce his own seed. Now, he's not powerful enough to create another race by itself. So he has to come to our race, human race, and create babies that way. Reproduce themselves that way. Interesting, huh? Let's keep reading. These were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth. So watch this. The human population was tainted. The gene pool of human beings were polluted. Imagine this, these evil beings. These are not fluffy angels coming down from heaven, loving angels. These are evil, sinful beings who rebelled against God, came down to earth, and forced themselves upon people to reproduce themselves. And giants were born. In the book of Enoch, it's recorded, chapter 6, I believe, that 200 men came down on the Mount of Hermon, and there was a city there. There was a worship place there. They came down there, and they rebelled against God, and they said, God will never forgive us this. After living here on earth, they took form of man, living here on earth. How many of you know angels can take the form of man? In the Bible, we see that Abraham was visited by two angels and Christophany, somebody who came as Jesus Christ. Remember that? And they said, we're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And then Jesus Christ was left with Abraham talking about, should we destroy the city or not? If I found 50 people, 40, 30, 10, I won't destroy the city. But there was not 10 people in Sodom who were righteous, horizontally or this way. By faith, we become righteous this way, right, and this way. And so these angels go to this city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And men of Sodom and Gomorrah, young and old, Bible says, come and want to do them great harm. And they stretch their hands and blind them. And then take the Lot and his family out of the city, right? And then they go back and destroy the city. The cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. So we know that the angels can't take form of man. How's that possible even? I don't know. But Bible does says that. So I'm not gonna, we were away from that. It does say that. These angels, 200 angels in the book of Enoch, came down from heaven, rebelled against God, committed great sin, lived on the earth. And then they realized that they wanted to go back to heaven. They wanted to contact with God, and God wouldn't listen to them anymore. It's not in our Bible, but it's in the historical book of Enoch. And so they came to Enoch and said, listen, Enoch, you're the man who walks with God, who God talks to. Could you go intercede for us? We made a great mistake. We made a huge sin by disobeying God. And Enoch says, okay, I'll go. See, Enoch wasn't afraid of these giants. He goes back, and wherever he is, prays and talks to God. And God answers and says, go back and tell these evil angels who were in my presence, who chose to disobey me, chose to defile themselves with women, and chose to do great evil. Go tell them that you ask Enoch to intercede for you, God says. Where you should be interceding for man, you ask man to intercede for you. For this reason, it shall not be forgiven to you, your sin. And you shall watch the destructions of your son attacking one another and destroying one another. So God said, no. We serve a loving God, but listen, he doesn't mess around. So why is there salvation for people who fail, and there's no salvation for angels who fail? Well, because number one, people were deceived. Adam and Eve were deceived. They didn't mean to fall. They didn't mean to rebel against God, right? But the angels, they saw the presence of God. They saw the love of God, but they thought there's something better out there. And so they came down here thinking, well, we disobey God, and we'll come down to the earth. Oops, and they couldn't go back. Wow, interesting. So Enoch was the righteous man who lived in that day. Everybody knew that Enoch knew God, he pleased God, he talked with God, and he walked with God. Now, when those angels realized that God will not let him back into heaven, they became corrupted and evil even more. They started another religion. It's called religion of the serpent. Okay, worship of serpent. The Bible says that they taught people witchcraft, sorcery. They taught them divination. They taught them worship of serpents. They taught the world. And because these men were there on earth, these half-breeds, right? They were half man and half something else. People of the earth, seeing their great magic, were turned and deceived to follow them. And really, on the earth, there was not many people left who believed in God. And when God, Bible says, looked upon the earth, he realized that all of the thoughts and acts of human beings were continually evil. Let me read that to you. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Why do you think Enoch is a man of faith? Because while everybody was deceived to worship serpent, and as you can see into different cultures today, you will see that worship of serpent is still going on today, especially in secret societies. Look at Chinese culture. What do they worship? A dragon or a serpent? Look at Indian culture. What do they worship? Serpent or dragon? Look at the Middle Eastern culture. What did they worship? Serpents. Look at the Amazon cultures. Worship of serpent. Worship of serpent. Where did they get that? How did these all these people, where did they get it? These beings came, made it, and they started a new religion. And their religion is this. We are true gods. God is an intruder. We don't want him here. God is kind of on the way. How many of you heard people say, yeah, I believe there's God, but he bothers me. He tells me what to do, and I don't want anybody to tell me what to do, right? People just want, we don't want God. We resist God, right? Well, that's the religion of these beings. They taught that. They taught people, and they deceived people and turned them away from God to the point where there was almost none who would believe in God. And it says that Enoch walked with God. Something happened when Enoch was 65. Number one, he had a son. He named him Methuselah. If you're a father, you know something happens to you when you have a son, right? When you have a kid born. You change. Well, something happened, and I think something bigger happened to Enoch. He names his son, firstborn son, Methuselah. That's a weird name, Methuselah. Right? There's Adam, Cain, Seth, and then Methuselah. It's like, what the? But something happened at 65 when he had a son, Bible says. Because from 65 to 365, for 300 years, he walked with God. And then he disappeared. Okay? He walked with God. Imagine this, evil in the world. Worship, pagan worship. Worship of serpents. All kinds of sexual perversions and craziness happens on this earth. These angels realize God will not take us back, so we're going to pervert the earth. We're going to contaminate the earth. We're going to teach these people craziness. As you can imagine, knowledge increased because these beings came from eternity and they were teaching humanity things that we didn't come up with. So science increased, all kinds of crazy things increased, and people said, we don't need God. We can do this without God. But when Enoch was 65, son was born to him. And I'm thinking this, whenever there's a great person born, usually it's announced by an angel. Before Samson was born, do you remember? God appeared, angel appeared to his mother and said, you will have a son in your old age. Before Isaac was born, right, angels came and said to Sarah, you will have a son in 1 year. And she laughed. Name him Isaac. Before Jesus was born, right? The angel appeared before John the Baptist, before these great men. So what I'm thinking, and Bible doesn't tell us this, Bible doesn't give us a lot, but we can kind of put pieces together, is that before Enoch was about to name his son something like Cain or something like Enoch Jr., the Lord either appeared to him or through a prophetic, through dreams, through an angel, and said, you will name him Methuselah. So now we're wondering, what is the meaning of Methuselah, right? What is the meaning of Methuselah? That's interesting. Because we know Methuselah died in a year of the flood. In the year when flood happened, that's when Methuselah died. He didn't die in a flood like in a movie. He died before flood happened. A fun fact for you, I want to give you here in a second, is this. Methuselah means when he's dead, it shall come. When he's dead, it shall be sent. What shall be sent? Deep enough for you? What shall be sent? The flood. Methuselah is the father of who? Noah. That's the godly lineage. It shall be sent. Interesting fact is that Methuselah was the longest living man on earth. 969. Is there a meaning to that? I think there is. I think God allowed him to live so long, hoping that humanity will change its mind and follow him. 969 years, the longest living. Is there a coincidence with that? I don't think so. I think what God was trying to do is, because he loved people still, although they got contaminated, but because he loved people, he prolonged it. And then when Methuselah died, flood happened and destroyed everything. Only 8 people, Noah and his family, were saved. Huh. Enoch walked with God. Genesis said Enoch walked with God. 22:23. So all the days of Enoch were 365. And Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. I think there's a huge significance. In the time when people rebelled against God, worshiped fallen angels, when evil spun out of control, when occults were the new norm, when worship of serpent was prevalent on the earth, it was the new religion. It was the time of false religion boom, when great signs and wonders were done by these fallen angels, when great knowledge became readily available. Enoch was not deceived by this new religion that was false religion. Enoch chose to follow an invisible God. You got to understand, this new religion that these angels started, fallen angels started, it was visible. They were showing tricks and magic and things that people can see. That's why people were deceived. God is not a show-off, right? God is not a show-off. So what happened is, Enoch is serving this God he cannot see, and nobody else can see. And it almost seems like he's not there, like today, right? Where is your God? Show me. I need more proof. One atheist was asked, if you died and meet God in heaven, if you meet God, what will you ask him? when he tells you, you're not welcome. You rejected me. He said, you didn't give me enough proof. What? Not enough proof? Look at the creation. Look at the human DNA. Look at the seas. Look at the order of the universe. What do you mean not enough proof? There's plenty of proof. Paul says the stars and the moons, they declare the glory of God. That's your proof. And so Enoch chose to believe this invisible God, even though he couldn't see him. And Bible says, because he believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness. Because Enoch believed God, that's why he's written in the book of heroes of faith in the Bible. When everybody else rejected, when everybody else said, we're too smart now. We got too much knowledge and science to believe in God. Enoch believed in God. For 300 years, there's a meaning to that. 300 years is a long time. Don't you think Enoch was tempted by lust of this world to reject God and take the easier way out? He's called a hero of faith because although the world offered him many different lusts and pleasures, Enoch said, no, I'm going to believe in the true God. And he walked with God. Bible says, can two walk without agreement? Enoch adjusted himself to God, where the other religions adjusted themselves to the lusts of our flesh. How many of you know true religions, they adjust to our lusts? So they know men have lusts for sex and, you know, porn and things. So guess what? So they say, well, let's give a lot of it. How do you know? False religion. Let's just do that, right? God says, no. Sex is great. I created it, but in marriage, right? It's God's way. You cannot walk with God on your terms. It has to be His terms. And Enoch said, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to follow God. Though none may follow, I will follow God. Listen, I want to tell you, Christians, it's going to be harder and harder to follow God. Just like in the days of Noah, so in the days, last days will be. Jesus said that in New Testament. So as it was in the day of Noah, so will be in our days. You have to make a commitment that I will walk with God. He's not going to be my genie who, whenever I need him, whenever I have a problem, oh God, come on, let's go. No, follow me, Jesus said. Follow me. He's not your genie. He's your king who deserves your worship. Enoch, follow God. And God did something crazy. One day Enoch walked with God and then he disappeared. God took him. And historic books tells us that whirlwind came and caught him with many chariots. And he went to heaven. And he was not. Thank you, Lord. I think God is doing something to your Christian thinking. He's doing something like this. Stretching your Christian thinking. All we get lately in church is sermonettes. 18-minute sermonettes. God is trying to do something more. God is trying to do something in our church. Wednesday night, something's going to happen. Thursday night, something's going to happen. But that's just the beginning. I believe God wants to revive us. I believe God wants to give us new passion. I believe God wants to give us a heart for people who are dying apart from Jesus, not knowing Jesus. God wants to do something in our life. I've got so much to say. But I want to ask you these questions and I'm done. Are you walking with God today? I know you're saved, probably. But are you walking with God? Or are you saying, oh, don't ask me that, Pastor. Can others say that you are walking with God? Can others say you're walking with God? If not, today you need to make that commitment. Today you need to make a decision. I'm going to walk with God, no matter the cost. Because He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Can God Himself say, like he said about Enoch, who's a hero of faith, when nobody else believed, when everybody believed false religions, can God say that you walk with him and that he's pleased with you? Enoch pleased God, and today I believe we can please God as well by walking with God. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, we come boldly to the throne now. God wants to walk with us. God wants to transform our life. He wants to make our faith alive and not dead. God loves you. The reason you're here today, it's not a mistake, is because He wants to save you. He wants to show you there's greater things that He has for you. And these material things are not the end. This is not His purpose for you. His purpose for you to be a hero in eternity. And His purpose for you is to shine as bright as the stars of heaven for eternity. That's His goal for you. Hallelujah. Would you close your eyes, bow your head, please? You heard today the word of God. You heard a lot of scriptures today. And I believe God was using it to touch your heart and soften it up and pry it a little bit open so He can pour His seeds, His godly seeds in your heart. God loves you and He wants to save you. He wants to forgive your sins. And yes, you do have sins and I have sins. He wants to forgive them. He wants to give you a new purpose and a new life. And today He's calling you, son, daughter, come home. I want to save you today if you let me. If you want to receive Jesus and make Him the Lord of your life. Like Enoch, he chose to make God his Lord. And His name lives in eternity. He shines brightly as the stars of heaven. God wants to save you, forgive your sins, and give you a new purpose. Today could be a new day, new beginning for you. Let's pray. Repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Save me, forgive me, give me a new life. From this moment, from this day, I believe that I'm saved, I'm forgiven, I'm a son of God, daughter of God, whatever. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands and bless God.